All right, we're having a really good day. Good interviews, good phone calls, two strong hours. Now I'm looking for you to finish. Finish with a strong third hour. My name is Jim Rome. You are listening to The Jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. In the NFL, a couple of big contract signings, reportedly. Ezekiel Elliott, I led the show with that. A lot of hype, a lot of attention. Jared Goff gets a new deal as well with not so much hype or attention. And that contract has twice the guaranteed money, reportedly. Twice the guaranteed money and maybe 1% of the fanfare. Go figure. Boise State head football coach Brian Harsin is coming up next segment. Also, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We had a rarity on the program. I mentioned we would go back-to-back in hour one. We did. Back-to-back with Super Bowl-winning players. We had Terrell Davis. We had DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware looks incredible. But then again, you see his workouts and you see why he looks incredible. And then the strangest thing, like a shocking thing, a shocking development in hour number two, back-to-back rack telephone calls. And I had asked Stucknut, our jungle historian, had that ever happened before? Had we ever gone? No. I asked him, had we ever gone back-to-back-to-back? He said, I've never even heard back-to-back. So now I'm feeling this pressure. Or not as much pressure as Hawk is feeling, because he is the gatekeeper. Can we literally go back to back to back? Could we get three rack calls? And amazingly, one of the rack calls was none other than Trapper, who pissed off a number of people with that rack call. But I'm trying to see if we could do something that has never been done in 25 years of this show. Back to back to back rack calls. This guy told Hawk, I'm your man. I got this. I've got this. It's Tony, right, Hawk? No, he says Rob in Oakland. Oh, a caller told you that he's got this. Why didn't you say so, Hawk? Let's find out. Rob in Oakland convinced Adam Hawk that he's the guy to get racked. If he does, it sets an unofficial jungle record. My man, Rob, I hope you're as good as you say you are. I really want this to work. I'm putting aside one of my top of the hour takes to keep this streak going. We go to Oakland. Rob, it's good to have you on, Rob. What's up?
Bro, me wrong. What's up with it, man?
What's up?
Like I told you last time, I told Hawk I'm going to have his back. And I know I got dumped last time, but I come in peace. Trust me, man. I just wanted to call out the main man, Trapper, man. Trapper, why are you calling in hating on blood like that, man? Listen, we all are flawed. Ain't none of us perfect. You feel what I'm saying? So lay our dudes back, man. Fall back and go do what you do, man. I just wanted to war the Raiders, win the division this year. Unwar that Trapper and war Holly Pollard sitting around tooting their own horns. Ouch. Oh.
And the streak comes to an end at 2. Hey, Adam, why don't you just go put those headphones back on for me right now so you and I can have a little chat. You and me, man to a pigeon. Bruh. That guy was going to extend the streak. I mean, like, I like Rob. He's got good energy about him. He's got a terrible phone line. But you're in the audio business, Hawk. Did that phone, the quality of that phone line not strike you as really bad when you talked to him?
Sometimes it sounds better when I'm talking to him than when it goes out on the radio.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Something about the phone-to-phone connection versus the phone-to-Alvin's board-to-radio connection.
Hawk, you were talking so far out your ass, even more so than normal. Do I have to get the guys from Radio Shack on to describe this? What the hell did you just say to me? Sometimes what? Why does it work sometimes when you talk to a caller directly but not when it comes on the air?
I feel like there's one more piece of technology between the listener and the caller when it goes phone to Alvin's board to radio versus just phone to phone. I mean, that's my theory. That's my working theory on why Rob sounded better to me than he did over the radio.
I got a theory. Your ass is fired. Man, hit the bricks. What the hell are you talking about, Hawk?
Hit the bricks, pal.
Oh, there's another. Yeah, good idea. Take those headphones off, Hawk. Take down that stupid porn stash while you're at it. Put your glasses back on. So there's a third layer That's why that doesn't work. The phone call has to go through another layer to get on the air. Therefore, this is where we lose conductivity. Huck, why wouldn't that be the case for every single caller that talks directly with you and then goes through the exact same board to get on the air? And even then, the content just wasn't there. Anyway, the streak's over. All good things must come to an end, including our back-to-back-to-back calls. All good things come to an end, like my executive producers. Guy before you was really good at it.
Let's not get into that.
Anyway, Rob in Oakland, I think, wanted to take a run at Trapper for judging Dave in Milwaukee, who had done 23 years in the can. Dave came on, said, yeah, I did it. I did my time. I'm rehabilitated. I got out. I've got a child. I've got a job. I'm the best salesman at that company. I love the show. The show got me through some tough times. And Trapper said, yeah, the show got me through some tough times too. However, why are you bragging on the 23 years you did? And I still don't think he was bragging on those 23 years. He was just stating, I did 23 years, and your show was one of the things that got me through. All right. Why don't we try one more? See if we can get back on track. Tony in South Carolina. Tony, you're on with Jim Rome. How are you?
Thanks for the vine, Romy. I got a slap for Trap. He's just another lawyer with a drug problem that wants to be a judge of Dave. It's very cliche. He should jump back in the bottle, chase ambulances, and we should all listen to Rome. Everyone. And if I wasn't in a classroom trying to teach kids not to be like him and listen, I'd listen every day. I'm in the path of Dorian, but I ain't moving from my radio because I want to be able to hear the Rome show. And I got to hate to do this, but I'm going to rain on Grizzle's parade. But the Cowboys didn't solve their problem. They signed their doom. Zeke ain't sleek without that extra fine line. But they got no heart. They think they've won by getting all paid from Jerry, and Jerry thinks he fixed his problem with his ego, getting rid of Jimmy. You don't throw money at problems to fix them. War Eagle, but it's Philadelphia, not Auburn. I'm out.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. He said the Trapper is just another lawyer with a drug problem that wants to be a judge. Anyway, Zeke Elliott's had some problems off the field. He's done some pretty reprehensible things off the field, made some pretty bad decisions off the field, but there's no question what he means to them on the field. This guy's a dominant player on the field. So whereas the league continues to devalue running backs, not him. He's not like the others. You can't just go off the street and get Ezekiel Elliott. So I'm not going to guarantee that they're going to make a Super Bowl run with him. Follow me on this. I'm not going to guarantee they'll make a Super Bowl run with him, but I guarantee they would not have made a Super Bowl run without him. He, again, is their best player. They run the offense through him. Defenses have to account for him first and foremost. Dak Prescott's a nice player. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He's getting better. He needs Zeke worse than Zeke needs him. The Cowboys need Zeke worse than Zeke needs the Cowboys. Why do you think this guy held out the way he did with 2 years left on that rookie deal? You know, aside from that normal thing, why does anybody do anything? Because they can? Well, he could, but he had the hammer. Why do you think this guy took off and went to Cabo and didn't show up for workouts, OTAs, the preseason? Because he knew that Jerry Jones was going to give him what he wanted. He had to. So my only question is, again, if he knew it, we all knew it. Deep down, Jones had to know it. So Jones is going on about severed hands and splitting up the pie.
Your hand
and running out of money.
Off.
For who? For what? Just to drag this thing out with some fake manufactured drama, to have this amazing ending, to get the news, rip the headlines, deliver this guy onto the fans right before the opener. Because they knew that he didn't need to be there in the preseason. He's done this before and shown up and put up numbers right away. In other words, this was exactly how this was going to go. But no. This didn't seal their fate. It's not a bad thing. He's their best player. How can getting their best player under contract, in uniform, in time for the opener, be a bad thing? It's not. It's a bad take. And that's two in a row that didn't get racked. Come on, man. Well, I did say it myself about the Mets. If something seems too good to be true, it generally is. And all good things come to an end. Hawk trying to redeem himself. Now he's just chasing. 734 tweets. How did that caller, Jedi Mind Trick Sparrow, into believing that he was getting racked? Hawk's explanation was even dumber. If that's even possible. Wells in the 360 tweets. War Hawk trading in his glasses for hearing aids. At Lee and Van tweets, add engineer to your resume, Hawk. Brian C60 tweets, Hawk, just end this now. Just say glass houses.
Glass houses.
Signed,
man.
Alvin.
Glass houses, man.
Alvin, why did you say that again? Yeah, Brian C60 is on Twitter. Hawk's knowledge of the board is the same as him knowing who sports figures are. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever forget a rather prominent radio executive in a gigantic media market who employed Hawk told me of Hawk when we were considering hiring him. Quote, one day we will all work for him. That honestly, and I've done this a long, long time. I've seen a lot of things. I've heard a lot of things. That might be my single favorite line of my radio career. I just want to go on record with that. Of all the shows I've done, of all the shows I've hosted, of all the people I've interviewed, of all the things I've heard all of you clones say, of all the things I've even uttered, of all the people I've known, of all the people I've met, of every single thing that has transpired in my radio life, even TV, even digital, even social, I think this woman telling me, quote, one day we will all work for Adam Hawk, is my single favorite moment of my career. Literally, Hawk. So, if in fact I am still going into the Radio Hall of Fame in November, and I think that I've got 5 minutes to get up on that stage and make a speech, and I got to figure out how to boil my entire career into 5 minutes, well, that's going to be a part of that speech. In fact, I may lead that speech. Better yet, conclude that speech. Quote, one day, we will all work for Adam Hawk. I understand, and I learned this early on. I've seen this. And if you've been in business for any period of time, you know not to underestimate certain people, right? You look at somebody over there, and you think to yourself, that person's going to dominate, and they really never amount to much of anything. You look at somebody else and say, yeah, they're not a factor, and they kill it. You pass the same people going up and down the chain, don't you? I know this. You never know exactly who's going to end up where. I just know this. None of us will ever work for Hawk, much less all of us. Damn, Hawk, I really apologize. That hurt you more than that hurt me. I apologize not to you, but to your family. They seem like nice people. One day we'll all work for Adam Hawk. Leslie thought that was funny. Tom Thibodeau thought that was funny. We all thought that was funny. We won't all work for him, but we all thought that was funny. Let's go to a short timeout. When we come back, Boise State head football coach, Brian Harsin. Trust me, he would think it's funny. Summer is ending. Savings are back in business with Dell's Labor Day sale. Small businesses can save up to 40% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. And free shipping on everything, including a wide selection of thousands of top brand electronics. Give our specially trained small business technology advisors a call. They can help you find just the right tech to fit your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/business deals or give us a call directly at 877-BY-DELL, 877-BY-DELL. Once again, 877-BY-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Once again, having a really good day. A lot of good content, good interviews, good calls, good takes. Good day. Very good day. And we continue right now with a conversation with the head coach at Boise State. Sixth season as Broncos head coach. Led Boise State to 53 wins, two conference titles, and three bowl wins. Boise State with a great come-from-behind win over Florida State, 36-31. They are currently ranked number 24 in both polls. Next challenge, Marshall, Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Brian Harsin is my guest. Brian, nice to have you back on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. Yeah, everything's going well. Just excited for this week.
Good. Can't wait to talk to you about this week, but let me get you to look back, if you don't mind, first. You've got Marshall, Brian on Friday, but if we were to go back to last week, you were getting ready to play Florida State in Jacksonville, but due to weather, that game was moved to Tallahassee. The game time moved from a night game to noon. You're already flying all the way across the country. There's one logistical change after another, including your Friday practice being delayed by lightning. I mean, what was the mood like around the program throughout the entire process?
Yeah, really just adapt and adjust. You know, we were going to have some adversity. We knew that just playing Florida State, and then things changed. We knew about the weather, and we knew there might be some adjustments there. We didn't know there'd be as many as we actually had. So our players really thrived on the adversity. I thought they handled it well. I thought it became really the theme of our entire trip was, hey, one thing after another, they got excited about it, and it showed up on game day. It was, you know, adversity in the first half. In the second half, it was really that conversation. Hey, we've gone through so much to get here. Let's go find a way and put ourselves in a position to have success in the second half. And that's exactly what they did. And the reason why, they just kept answering the bell throughout this entire trip. Every time something changed, nobody flinched. And I thought in the second half, we actually showed that when we went out there and played. So I felt like our guys deserved to win. Because of the things they went through to get there, and they ended up getting it done on that Saturday, and it was a great opportunity for our guys to just persevere and be 1-0 for the season and to do it the way they did it.
Brian Harsin joining us. I want to be very clear about this for those who may have missed it. Florida State jumped out to a 21-6 lead in the first quarter, 31-13, with just over 4 minutes left in the first half. It would have been very easy for you guys just to maybe give in and say this was not our day, just not our time, but that's not what happened. They battle all the way back, and you point out how proud you were. Let me ask you this. In the build-up to the game, the players saw a hype video. There was a 7-minute highlight package from the 2010 win over Virginia Tech. Curtis Weaver said, quote, just seeing what our tradition has done in the past, what they've done, it made us build that confidence and keep that going, end quote. So, Brian, my question is, I know you're not somebody looking to talk about previous seasons, but how important was it to remind your guys this is a program that has a tradition of taking down big-time opponents?
Well, that was really the message. And the message also was in 2014, Florida State won a national championship. And we have an opportunity to go in there and play a program like that and to take our shot. And really showing that video of Virginia Tech, it just reminded me a lot of that game. ACC, kind of a neutral site, NFL stadium. So there was a lot of similarities I felt like that the players could take away from it. And we watched that video. We watched our guys get out to a faster start, and then Virginia Tech come back, and then at the end of the game come through and find a way to win. And it was kind of the reversal of that in the first half for us against Florida State. But more of it was just the mentality of the opportunity that's in front of you, the preparation that you should have when you have opportunities like this. And so go out there and do the work. And things are not going to go our way. We're going to face adversity. We're going to have challenges. They're not going to overlook us. So just understand what you're getting into. And I felt like the players took a lot away from that. And then, you know, ultimately, if Curtis or guys on their team are talking about it, then, you know, that's something that you hope clicks, and it did in this last game.
Boise State head football coach Brian Harsin joining us after that win over Florida State. You know, there's a lot of other guys I could single out, but Hank Bachmeier, your true freshman quarterback, was starting his first game on the road at Florida State, took a lot of hits, but kept on rolling, ends up with more than 400 yards passing. It was a performance that made the country take notice. But knowing what you know about him, were you surprised, or is that pretty much what you expected from him?
Well, we've seen him in practice. You know, you never know. He never got hit one time since last spring, so I had no idea, you know, how he would handle himself going out there and taking some hits. Yeah, he showed tremendous toughness. That was something that really stood out to me that we talk a lot about in that room. And, you know, I thought that was on display against Florida State. Now, I didn't expect the 400 yards and really didn't even know that. You know, we went in there with the idea that we were going to run the football and try to take care of our quarterback. And we ended up with a lot more plays in that game than we probably expected. But he did a tremendous job of, you know, just coming back after, you know, getting hit or after a sack or after a turnover. You know, he was able to just put that last play away and just onto that next play, and that mentality and that toughness, I thought, was a big reason in that second half why we just kept kind of plugging away and getting staying close enough until we could finally get in the fourth quarter just ahead because of how he played. And so that's good. You know, that was his first game. He's a true freshman, but he certainly didn't act like that in this game. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of toughness. And so hopefully that continues as we continue to play this season.
Brian Harsin joining us. The season continues against Marshall on Friday. You know, it was not just the offense that turned things around. The defense held Florida State to 44 yards on its last nine drives. How would you describe the identity, the mentality of the defense?
I thought they did a great job in the second half. Coach Schmetting, our defensive coordinator, he got a chance to see his players for the first time live. And so, you know, just the adjustments that they made in the second half and really just settling down and playing the way we're capable of playing on defense, tackling better, getting around the football, taking advantage of opportunities when the ball is on the ground or in the air. And those are things that we've seen from our defense. We do have a veteran group. I know what they're capable of playing like, and they started to really show that in the second half when they settled down and we made a few adjustments. And you know, the turnovers, the momentum, the offense that Florida State has, they're explosive. They got really good players. They got a really good system. And so for how we played in the second half, I thought they did an outstanding job. And that created that momentum. That created that hope. That gave our offense an opportunity to be in better field position so we could score points. And just a great group effort by both sides, special teams included. Eric Sachs, you know, a transfer kicker for us. He really kept us in the game and gave us a lot of hope just by hitting those field goals one after another. And it was just a group effort by everybody, and certainly the defense shined in that second half.
You know, then before you go, you were talking about prepare for the opportunity, prepare for a great opportunity like this. You go back to July, you had a day called Deck Day. For those who do not know, what is Deck Day and what do you want your guys to take away from it?
Yeah, well, Deck Day, well, that goes back a lot of years, Jim. And a lot of us have been a part of that. It's really, you know, getting the upper decks here of this stadium and the way our stadium is built and pitched. You know, you run those bleachers, and it's no easy task. And it's something that's part of, you know, as we finish up summer, that blue-collar work, that blue-collar identity that we have. And getting up there, and this year the guys run 20 of them. And that's really the build-up all the way through the summer. And once we're done with that, we break into fall camp. And so it's just the work necessary to truly go out there and be successful. You know, that's one of the things I hope our guys, when they come to Boise State, they understand that you've got to do the work. And there's no easy road. There's no free lunches. It takes what it takes. And to me, that's part of what Deck Day is. It's a grind. It's hard. It's meant to be. It's never going to be easy. Even if you've gone through it 4 or 5 years, every time you have to go through it, it's difficult. But that's a season. And that just reminds you and kind of humbles you to, as you go into this year, no matter the experience you have, hey, it's one game at a time and focus on that, and every opponent matters, and you got to put in the preparation to go out there and get the job done.
You know, and then it's not a good team or a good couple of years. It's a great program. And the guys that you're asking to do this, the guys who before them have also done that. So, in other words, you invite guys back, players, former players, back for Deck Day. How many guys came back? And then what's it mean to have a program where former players continue to come back and support the current players?
Well, I think that's part of our family atmosphere. And we talk about once a Bronco, always a Bronco. We had about 20 guys come back, and they've got coffee and donuts, and the other guys are up there running, and every single one of them, you know, at the beginning of it, it's always interesting because they're just sitting back and watching, and then probably about deck 11, 12, 13, when the guys start to really fatigue, you could feel those former players start to cheer these guys on because it just takes them back to when they did it. And it's that, you know, again, just those guys helping the younger players out. And that brotherhood, you know, around this culture and this program of, hey, you can do it. We want to see you do it. We're right here with you. And I think the current players appreciate that because they know, hey, there's life after football, and being a part of this team matters. And they're going to have their opportunity someday to come back and give back to the players that are going to be out there doing the work.
It's a great program with a great legacy, a great tradition, and they add to that with that come-from-behind win over Florida State. You've got Boise State hosting Marshall Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Their head football coach is Brian Harsin, already six seasons in. Brian, great to visit with you on this show, as always. Thanks so much, and great talking to you.
Hey, appreciate you, and go Broncos.
You got it, Brian. Go Broncos. Got a lot of respect for that program. A lot of respect for the guys who've come through that program, coaches, players, the guys who are still doing it. Current coach included. I cannot believe I kind of stressed it, but I can't believe that he is 6 years in already. Brian Harsin. And what a great come from behind win that was, especially given the logistical nightmare and challenges they had to face in dealing with Florida State, and they never lost it, either before the game or during the game on the field. Great, great win for them. All right, so we'll come back. One last segment, and then again, reminder, later on, the Jim Rome podcast, Jordan Palmer in studio, talking quarterback play in the college game and in the NFL. And we'll push that out later on. Open phones. My thoughts on Alex Caruso also when we come back. First up, the all-important bottom of the third hour sports update. Here you go. Rich Ackerman, if you don't mind. Davis, DeMarcus Ware, Brian Harsin. It's not over yet. We've got a long-form sit-down. Jordan Palmer coming up after this show. And it's not Dwight's call. I want to talk about Alex Caruso and whether or not this is a Laker town or a Clipper town. First up, though, Wednesday is an ATP day. Ask the pros. You clones get to submit a question to me. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and you want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. That way you get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This ATP says, Jimmer, I dropped my oldest off at college a few years back. The strangest part wasn't leaving to go back without him. It was actually getting home and the first week after. It hit me at home. When family dinners would be one person short, the house just gets sadly a lot quieter. It's funny. We always say we want that quiet. Then it gets here, and it's the most deafening sound. How's the first week been for you and Janet? Tom and Temecula. That's actually a really good question. All right, so really quickly. So the entire family, check that. So Janet and Jake went a week ahead of time. Because there are all sorts of things that had to get done, and then some dates got changed. So they went ahead of time, Janet and Jake. Jake, our oldest son, was starting at the University of Wisconsin. And in fact, today was his first official day in class. Logan and I traveled separately a few days after the fact. So we spent some time there, and everybody was doing really well. Here's the honest answer. People keep saying to me, like my friends and family, how you doing, how you doing, how you doing? I said, let me tell you how this goes. I'm doing well. Mama is doing better than I thought, much better, but is going to struggle. Little bro is doing better than I thought, but is going to struggle because Jake's his guy. I'm doing well, and Jake is doing incredibly. Like, this is not a hard time for him at all. So we go, we drop him off. Mom is holding it together. You know, the night before dinner, she sheds a few tears. A couple when she says goodbye. Like, I don't cry. It's not going to be an issue for me. I've told the story before, but when Shared Belief died in 2015, I found out about it during this show. And I told the story. My son, he saw a video where I did a keynote speech for an industry event, and he didn't know this. I said, I found out during this show, I went back to my desk and I cried. Like I was a 50-year-old guy crying. And Logan says to me, Dad, I've never seen you cry. I said, because I don't. So I'm fine. And then I go to hug it out with Jake, knowing I'm fine. And then I shed a few tears. Like it choked me up right there in the moment. And I'm holding on to the kid. And the kid's like all but pushing me away. Like not a single tear, man. That kid could not have been more dehydrated. Peace out. See you later. Gonzo. Running with his crew. Pushing back already that we're invading his newly found independence. Anyway, so we come back home. So the question, what's this week been like? It's only been a few days. We came back on Monday. And it's been a really busy few days. I think the answer to that, Tom, because we're traveling. And again this weekend, I think it's going to hit us. It has not hit us yet, but it is definitely more quiet. It's like Logan always says, hey, Dad, Jake and Mom are nice. You and I are funny. Right. And quiet. And quiet. Those two like to yap a little bit. They kind of pay me to talk, so I don't talk as much when I'm not on the air. It is definitely more quiet. And there's definitely more space. And I don't think that kid has thought about us once. I feel ya. Exactly. It's Madison, Wisconsin, yo. Well done, Albie. Yeah! So the answer to the question is, I think what you're saying. But we're still all kind of running around. I'm going my way. Janet's going her way. Logan's going his way. And Jake is gone, yo. And Logan started high school. So we got that, too. One started college. One started high school. 1-800-636-8686. Tom and Temecula, I think you nailed it, Tom. It's not happening yet, but I've got a feeling that's the way that's going to go. You know, especially during the weekend. We'll see how that goes. Anybody else want in? Let's see. Do I go long-form rant to end the program? Or do I roll the dice and go with the phones? Tough call. So now Labor Day has passed. The kids are back at school. I mentioned one's in college, one's in high school. All your kids are back. We've reached that unofficial end of summer. We can finally make a few conclusions about the summer, right? Like if you're looking to determine the song of the summer of 2019, pretty hard not to go with Old Town Road. Since that was permanently parked on top of the charts, you could not go anywhere without hearing about horses in the back. Sports. So many different stories that you could pick from. The U.S. women winning the World Cup. Kawhi, PG, coming to the Clippers. KD and Kyrie going to the Nets. AD coming to the Lakers. And so on. Now, me personally, when I think back on the summer of 19, I'm going to think about one thing and one thing only. Alex Caruso. The summer of 2019 was the summer of Alex Caruso. Forget the Lakers bringing in Davis. The biggest story of the Lakers offseason has been the transformation of Alex Caruso. Some of you losers looked at him last year, clowned him as a guy who should be working at the Staples Office Supplies, not Staples Center. One of you dopes glossed him Steve Blake's dad. And all this guy did was dominate, undrafted out of Texas A&M back in 2016. He plays in the G League. He sees a little action with the Lakers in 2017-18. Then he breaks out in a huge way last year, 15 points, 6 boards in his first serious action of the year back in March. Double-digit points in 4 or 5 games in mid-March. 23 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, 3 boards in that final game of March. Then came April, the month of Caruso. 15 points, 7 assists in a revenge game against the Thunder, the team that used to hold his rights. Then closing out the season with 3 straight double-doubles, including this masterpiece against the Clippers. 32 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. My guy looked like Irv out there. You losers who thought that he looked like he should be running a staff meeting at a rental car agency, were looking like absolute dopes when he was running the court, like an absolute boss. No wonder Jason Kidd wanted that assistant's job with the Lakers. Hell, he wants to learn from Caruso. And if you have forgotten about Caruso over the summer, I suggest you remedy that right now. I suggest you take a look at the weight room pics that surfaced on social media recently. Holy bleep. Caruso has been doing work. That's a warning to the NBA. The warning reads, look the hell out. Have you seen how shredded this guy is? If I'm a sports book in Las Vegas and I see those picks, I'm immediately taking down all NBA lines. This season is over before it begins. The question is not whether the Lakers win a title, it's whether they ever lose a game. This dude is shredded. You could grate cheese on this dude's abs. Or to borrow a line from GQ back in the day, Caruso was, quote, all thick polygons and smooth flat planes and inescapable corn-fed handsomeness. Remember that. Remember that. If he had been wearing a billowy white shirt and loose-fitting jeans, that would, quote, somehow only underscore the solidity of his bulk like a tarpaulin draped over a concrete pylon. End of quote. This guy's in crazy shape now. And I know some people, even Caruso, are saying that it's photoshopped. I'm not buying it. Don't hate on the guy just because he's in better shape than you. And Caruso, my man, there's no reason for you to be so modest. I know you've got this kind of weird Clark Kent Superman thing going on where you want people to think that you're normal, just like the rest of us. We know the truth. More importantly, you know the truth. Bro, we know you're not from this planet. Don't play like it's Photoshop. Sure enough, as soon as those pics broke Twitter, Caruso received something from the league, and he went to social media with it, posting, quote, last week, photoshopped weight room pic of me surfaces on social media. This week, random off-season drug test.
Drug test.
Nah, Alex, that was not about those pics. The league is not testing you because they saw those pics. They're testing you because they saw this highlight reel that the Lakers tweeted out.
Did you know he could dunk like that?
Caruso. Oh, Alex, throw it down. Caruso cannot be stopped. First 30-point game of Alex Caruso's career.
That thing has had like 8 billion views. That's why they're drug testing you, my man. So to answer this question once and for all, is L.A. a Clippers town or a Lakers town? The answer is, it's a freaking Caruso town. This dude's going to have such a crazy year. That's who you should be talking about. Not Braun. Not AD. Not Kyle Kuzma. Not AD. Not Dwight Howard. Caruso. Hey, Rome, leave it to Hawk to pick the only guy calling in from a submarine to go for the three-peat. War Hawk updating his resume instead of giving a damn about making history. It was a poor choice. Huge call. Hey, how about making the call to add Snickers and Skittles to your game day spread? These fun gridiron favorites are sure to be a crowd pleaser that will have fans cheering for more. Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsors of the NFL. I'm not even kidding. Literally my two favorite candies ever. No lie. Ask Ike. Man, Ike is like Skittles 3 times a day. Yeah, you are, Ike. Thanksgiving dinner for Ike. He stuffed his turkey. I went over there once. Skittles coming out the turkey. I got to get out. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. We're done.